Thank you, young man. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2, reads as follows. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. That's an okay place for you to say amen. I'm not the guy that's going to scratch my ear all service. I won't do that. But you're allowed to say amen, especially when somebody says, praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your house. We thank you for the comfort you provide for us, that we can sit here in safety and security and warmth and dryness, and Lord, that we can gather together and draw closer to you as a result of it. Lord, I pray you'd be with me tonight. Help me to say the things you want me to say. Lord, protect me from saying the things you don't want me to say. Lord, I pray that the preaching of your word tonight would draw us all closer to you. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody who doesn't know you as their Savior tonight, we'd take the opportunity to help them to solve that, Lord, by showing them from your word. Lord, I pray for my pastor tonight. I'm thankful for the pastor that you gave me, and for the family that you gave him, and for leading them here. Lord, I pray that you give them peace in this time of healing. Lord, that you give them patience with that. And Lord, that you would help to restore him. Lord, we ask all this in your son's precious name. Amen. Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain, said of the writing of James Fenimore Cooper, which, by the way, if you've never read a James Fenimore Cooper book, this won't make sense. But if you have ever read a James Fenimore Cooper book, this will make sense. And I see Brother Dan has already given the thumbs up. I will tell you, in my experience of James Fenimore Cooper, there's a part where the characters are walking along Lake George in New York State. And for the next three pages of very small font, you learn about Lake George in New York, upstate New York. And never talks about it again, had no relevance. It's like talking to me, basically. Mark Twain said of James Fenimore Cooper's writing that the dialogue was as if, quote, there was a time when time was of no value to a person who thought he had something to say, when it was the custom to spread a two-minute remark out to ten, when a man's mouth was a rolling mill and busied itself all day long in turning four-foot pegs of thought into 30-foot bars of conversational railroad iron by attenuation. I am often rightly accused of being long-winded and overly wordy. The writer of this psalm, however, was not. The entirety of the psalm, both verses, has already been read. While there is always a multitude of reasons to praise God, sometimes we overcomplicate it. We pray with prose and poetry rather than purpose and power. We lose sight of the magnificence of whom we praise, getting lost in the wonderfulness of our own words. This is problematic for a number of reasons, not limited to these. It can, though not always, take our focus off of him. And when done publicly, as most verbose prayers are, it can intimidate others from publicly praising the Lord. The psalmist challenged everyone to praise God, and himself praised the Lord simply for his merciful kindness and his enduring eternal truth. I don't think anyone would mind being in line to testify after him. And his few words said much. I've been thinking a lot about testimonies lately. Mom, your testimony tonight probably helped somebody. I saw a head bobbing just now when I said that. So it helped at least one person. Miss Valerie, your testimony tonight helped me to be patient. I'm learning patience, and your testimony helped me. And our testimonies oftentimes can become a little bit too verbose. The word that I had originally used, by the way, which just further illustrates the problem. You know what? I can't even actually pronounce it, which is why I chose not to use it. But if you want to know what it is, come see me after. But we overcomplicate things. I was talking to Brother Inman earlier tonight, before he had to go. And I said, you know, you corner me in a building anywhere, and I will praise God with enthusiasm and excitement. But in this room, in God's own sanctuary, which is not an auditorium, by the way, because an auditorium is where you go to hear people speak, and I don't think anybody came here tonight to hear me speak. We go to the sanctuary of God to meet with Him. That's why we're here. But you stick me in the sanctuary, and Ryan hands me a microphone, and I get all nervous. And I just mumble out my praise, and I'm just so really thankful about that the internet exists so I can watch videos of other churches and listen to my friends preach and keep up with some of the churches that partner with us, and I think that's really great. And does that sound enthusiastic? No. If you were listening to that, if you were listening to that testimony, are you like, man, I'm kind of glad God created the internet too? No, you're just like, I don't even know what he said. I couldn't tell. He mumbled. I couldn't tell what he said. But we get so into our heads sometimes. And then some people, they go on. And on. And on. And on. And on. And you think, this is supposed to be a testimony about God, right? And you're waiting for them to just mention God. And it might be something very nice about somebody in the church. It might be something very nice about the church itself. But they forgot to mention God. And it's His church. And everything that's good here is because of Him. But sometimes we listen to those guys, because sometimes we also hear people that they give a testimony that maybe kind of goes on for a minute. They might be basically preaching from the pews. But it's really encouraging. Miss Ballard, your testimony did not go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. There were no words wasted in that. It was succinct. It praised God. But that was a sermon in the pew to me. Listen, we ain't that kind of church. Women aren't pastors. We get that. I just want to be clear. All right? Okay, good. But you know what I'm saying. And we hear those things and we think, well, man, they found her wallet after 3 months in a place that they weren't even at. I don't have anything that cool going on in my life. You woke up today, didn't you? Call that setting the bar low? Maybe. But you did wake up today, right? There's some that didn't. And some of those didn't wake up in a place I want to be. Is it not enough you woke up today? And that if you didn't, you have confidence you'll be in heaven? Is that not enough for you to praise? For you to testify? We get intimidated by that. We overcomplicate things. Testimonies are so simple. They're so easy. Well, easy and simple are not the same, are they? They're simple, but it's not always easy. With that in mind, I want to take a closer look at this passage, and I want to preach on this thought. A time-sensitive testimony. A time-sensitive testimony. Now, I like puns. I enjoy things that sound like they mean one thing and they mean something else entirely. Dad jokes are right up my alley. But I also like when things can can have nuance to them. And the same word used in the same sentence can have more than one meaning. A time-sensitive testimony. You know, if we go out and we knock on a door and we say, have you heard about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yeah, there's this guy at work and he just never shuts up. Not never shuts up about God, but he just goes on and 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 does not read the room. So, no, but have a good day. We do need to be sensitive about people's time when we're talking to them. And that's coming from the guy who, if you give him 5 minutes, he's going to take 2 hours. So I'm learning here too. But there's something else to time sensitivity. It means that it happened at just the right time. Miss Valerie, your testimony is very important to you. I appreciated it. But there might be somebody here that's been praying about a thing for 3 months, or 3 years, or 30 years. And they're starting to lose hope. Maybe the thing they're looking for turns up in a place they never expected it. And that testimony maybe gives them just a little bit of encouragement to keep praying a little more. There's nuance to that phrase, time sensitive. So, here's three things about this time sensitive testimony that I see that we can apply in our testimonies. The first thing we see is that this time-sensitive testimony is filled with praise for God. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. There's only two verses in the entire psalm, and he says praise three times. Praise ye the Lord. Praise him. Praise ye the Lord. This time-sensitive testimony is filled with praise for God. Psalm chapter 150, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Not his auditorium. That's a freebie. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. That word firmament is... it's like the atmosphere of his power. Is there anywhere his power doesn't reach? So the atmosphere of his power is, safe to say, it's everywhere. The psalmist says, praise him, not only in the sanctuary, at church, with other people that know who you're talking about and know what you're talking about, and maybe it's an encouragement to them, and that's wonderful. But praise him everywhere, even in Walmart. I'll tell you what, as a guy who worked for Target but has no company loyalty, even in Walmart. Yesterday, there was a lot of work going on down here at the church. I praise God for that, because nobody was grumpy about it. Everybody was having a real good time, except Noah, who couldn't figure out how to string lights on a tree. But it's okay, buddy. We'll teach you. You weren't the only one either. I just didn't call the other one out because she's not in the room. But there was a lot of work going on down here. Some of that work was a little more behind the scenes. It involved the HVAC system in the gym. And we thought, you know what? Just, I say we as if, Brother Norm, as if I was the one with my hand on the screwdriver. I say we, right? Nah. Among the other things that maybe we need to just make sure is in order, we're just going to replace the filters, right? Because if you can't breathe, you can't work properly, right? So we'll just replace the filters. So Brother Matt says, where do we keep those? I said, we'll keep them down there. He said, if there's none there, come back to me, let me know. We'll figure it out. Comes back, don't have it. He says, well, we can probably order those off of Amazon. I'm like, nope. Let's get this done. Let's be done with this. Let's get this thing rocking and rolling. If we can use it on Monday night, it'd be really great. They're already setting up in the fellowship hall. That's fine. Pivot. Well done. But, you know, if the hooligans get rowdy, it's nice to throw them in the gym. You know? The hooligans being the kids, to be clear. So I said, no. I said, pull out my phone. Pull up the Lowe's app. Brother Matt, Lowe's has them. I'll go get them. You guys are busy doing stuff. I'll go get them. So I go to get them. He's like, well, we can, like, it doesn't have to be today. I'm like, no, let's go today. Let's go get it today. So I go down there, pull in, I go down. I like to park where the contractors park because technically I'm a professional. I've got Bill Nicholas's card and it says Lowe's Pro on it, and so I can park there. Also, I turn screws professionally. So I like to park there. But it's a Saturday and it's full. But I still parked at the lumberyard end of the building. And I go inside and I find the filters, get the filters. I got the last four. It's exactly how many we needed. Praise God. In the aisle. Thank you, Lord. We got this. Got this. It's meant to be. What if we'd have gone tomorrow? Might not have had four. We need four. Right? Obviously, that's God's timing. That's why I had to go right then. So I come back out to the contractor end where the contractors pay for their stuff. And man, that line is halfway up the lumber aisle. And I'll tell you what, my truck is teaching me patience, but I ain't that patient. So I will be a servant, serve myself at the self-checkout. Not even trained, and I can still do it. But I do have 30 years of retail experience, so that kind of probably helps. Anyway, so I go down to self-checkout. There's a couple of vacancies. I go up. I scan my guys, leave them sitting there on the floor, key in my thing, punch in the church's phone number. Yes, that's the account. Good. Tax exempt. Yes, tax exempt. Good. Okay. Processing. Scan the card. Got it. Okay, good. Cash out. Please wait for assistance. If you're doing tax exempt, they print a receipt they want you to sign. But they need a person to show you. You don't need any training to work that register, but if you have to sign a piece of paper with a pen, you need a person. Whatever. So the little light starts doing the bong, and the lady's over here, and she says, I'll be right with you. I'm just finishing up with this customer. I'll be right with you, sir. And I said, hey, no worries. It's fine. I'm not in a hurry. I'm patient. And over here, I hear a familiar voice. And he says, oh, did you break it, Joe? And I look. And it's a friend of mine. And I don't see him very often. Because we travel a lot. And so I'm not around for the things that he's around for. And frankly, I know him from an older time in my life, when I had different interests. And his interests have never been God. He is the absolute friendliest atheist you will ever meet. He's the kind of atheist you want to talk to. Because he'll actually ask you questions. Because he's polite and friendly. But he knows what he doesn't believe. But he's not like one of the militant ones that are just really rude and aggressive. But he's a real sweet guy. And so we get to talking. He says, man, you were down in Florida? Yeah, we were down in Florida. In fact, we came back from Florida, and as soon as we got back from Florida, we went out to Illinois. Well, what were you doing in Illinois? I'm telling him about that. And we just got back from that. This would have been 2 days ago. He says, wow. He says, so you got the truck running? I said, yeah. You haven't seen the truck. Come see the truck. So we walk out. After we finished our transactions, you don't need a whole dissertation on Lake George, but details do matter. So we walk out to the truck, and as we're walking out there, I'm telling my atheist friend how God has blessed us. I'm telling my atheist friend the story of Joseph and how when he was in the pit and he was in the prison, that led to him being the second in command of all of Egypt and allowed him to save his family. Now, you could look at that and say obviously Joseph was in the wrong place. But he wasn't, because if he wasn't in the pit and he wasn't in the prison, then he wasn't in the place to help his family in God's timing. And so that's how I got through the frustration. I'll fill you in the details later. Of the 6 months of owning a pickup truck that I only actually had in my possession for 5 weeks cumulatively, not even all at the same time. And I'm not salty about it, Mark. But I'm praising God through all of this. And I'm telling him about how, yeah, I don't make the money I used to make when I worked for Target. We don't make nearly that. But buddy, let me tell you about the things God has done. Where we had bills coming. And we were worried. Genuinely concerned. How are we going to pay this bill? And we do a drop-in at a church. Pastor finds out what we do. Says, get up there and tell us what you're doing. I kept it brief. 8 minutes. Flat. That's good for me. You want like 4 to 8 minutes. You want a 15, you want an 8, you want a 4, and you want a 2. So, 8 minutes flat. And then the pastor gets up and says, man, that's a great ministry. We're going to take up a love offering for these guys. This is a church that on a Wednesday night has 40 people in the building. Right? Now, they're very active. They love God. It's a wonderful church. But impromptu, he says, we're going to take up a love offering for these people. And we get back to the camper, and one of the men comes and, hey, Brother Joe, preacher sent this envelope over for you. And I open it, I look inside, and I don't count the cash. I just hand it over to the administrative wing of my ministry. And I don't think I'm out of line telling this story. But if I am, just do one of these. She opens it, she counts it. I'm not going to tell you the number. It doesn't make sense from a church that only has 40 people on a Wednesday night. The exact amount of money we needed to make that bill happen. And I got to tell my atheist friend about that. Oh, praise God. Everywhere. Every chance you get. Praise Him everywhere. Praise ye the Lord. The first thing we see in a time-sensitive testimony is that it is filled with praise for God. Is your testimony filled with praise for God? There's a lot of things we can be thankful for. There's a lot of things we can praise. I'll go on and on and on about the dealership that didn't do a good job on my truck. And I will go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about the dealership that did a great job on my truck. But am I as thorough when I praise God? First thing we see about a time-sensitive testimony is that it is filled with praise for God. The second thing we see about this time-sensitive testimony is that it is focused on God's goodness. Verse 2 says, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. Now, I will tell you, I am intentionally trying to learn to preach shorter. I'm very long-winded, Brother Herrera. Very long-winded. And so in order to keep it succinct, I am not going to deep dive God's merciful kindness. But if you're saved tonight, you know His merciful kindness. If you woke up this morning, you know His merciful kindness. If you have a roof over your head, you know His merciful kindness. You have a church family that loves you and cares about you and prays for you while you're sitting in the hospital, very frustrated because you're a mover and a shaker, regardless of how close you are to the experienced generation. That's God's merciful kindness. You don't have children of your own, but you have two churches full of kids. That's God's merciful kindness. You got a truck that's been in the shop for 6 months. It's God's merciful kindness. It's God's merciful kindness. The three things that are most likely to break on a vehicle: the engine, the transmission, and the alternator. Guess what got replaced? Guess how much it cost me? My truck's been in the shop for 6 months. It's God's merciful kindness. The first thing we see in this time-sensitive testimony is that it is filled with praise for God. The second thing we see is, in this time-sensitive testimony, is that it is focused on God's goodness. Psalm 31, verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Well, that sounds like not only is that a testimony of God's goodness, but it's a testimony in front of the sons of men. Like maybe everybody should hear of God's goodness in your life. Do people know about God's goodness in your life? The first thing we see is that the time-sensitive testimony is filled with praise for God. The second thing we see is that this time-sensitive testimony is focused on God's goodness. Lastly, the third thing we see is that this time-sensitive testimony is focused on God's faithfulness. "And the truth of the Lord endureth forever." Again, I'm preaching about time sensitivity. I want to be mindful of that, of the time. But the truth endureth forever. Not just any truth. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Remember earlier I talked about time sensitivity. In this context has two meanings at the same time. Now, contextually, this verse in Isaiah is talking about the word of the Lord. This. You know what else is referred to as the word of the Lord? John chapter 1 will tell you. It's Christ. Christ endureth forever. And we'll be with him forever if we're saved, if we put our faith and trust in him, if we're not relying on being really good or mom and dad having gone to church for a long time or me having gone to church for a long time. Nothing but Jesus. Either way, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And we can praise him for that. You know how many people think that that book is outdated? They go looking for a newer version. You know how inaccurate those newer versions are? They say it's hard to read. I say increase your vocabulary. It's not that difficult. Tu hablas inglés? Un poquito? Muy poquito? Bien. My español está muy, muy poquito. But the more language I learn, the more I understand. The more words we learn, the better we can understand God. Don't be afraid of vocabulary. I always told the kids in Sunday school, "Sunday school, you're going to learn about the Bible, but we're also going to learn about science. We're going to learn about language arts. We're going to learn about geography. Very rarely will we learn about math." You increase your vocabulary, you increase your understanding of God. And maybe you can pronounce that word that I had to draw a line through because I couldn't pronounce it. God's word and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. It is relevant today as it was then. Everything in this Bible is true. I'm not going to scratch my ear, but I will say it again. Everything in this Bible is true. And it's full of God's promises. God's promises endure forever. I had a conversation with a friend this week whom I love dearly. Doctrinally, we're about 85% on point. But he was convinced that the Jews are not God's chosen people because they're not doing what he said. I said, brother, every day you don't do what God said. But God's promise in Genesis 18 endures forever. And if his promise in Genesis 18 endures forever, young people, God's promises are always true. The testimonies of the more experienced generation will simply reinforce that for you, if you'll listen. That's why it's important for people of the more experienced generation, like Brother Colossa. See, Mom's right behind you, so everybody thought I was going to say her. I'm not that brave. To raise his hand and give a testimony on a Sunday night. That's why. See, I hugged Brother Bill today, and his arms really are like iron. That's why it's important for a man like Brother Bill to get in the pulpit and testify of God's goodness and open up the word and share it with the younger people. Because you've seen things and you've lived through things. And it's God and his word that sustained you in that time, because the truth of the Lord endureth forever. And if it endured for you, it'll endure for me and it'll endure for Ryan. And our testimony of the truth of the Lord enduring forever might just help somebody at a time that we don't expect. This time-sensitive testimony is filled with praise for God. This time-sensitive testimony is focused on God's goodness. This time-sensitive testimony is focused on God's faithfulness. Testimony time is not just 15 minutes on a Sunday night when Pastor pries it out of us, as he says, like hen's teeth. Every time we talk to someone is an opportunity to testify of God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives. That's why I wanted to know how, as a man with 30 years of retail experience, how that man had the audacity to look at you and say, we're terrible at our jobs, but that's a blessing for you. Not knowing that you were going to go get into an aisle and be encouraged by a stranger. Not knowing you were going to go into an aisle and get nearly run over by a stranger. Which, by your own testimony, was a blessing. How could he know that? How old was that man? Young people see things too. Never discredit. I'm not, this isn't a chastisement towards you. I'm just looking at you because I don't want to look at the people that I would be chastising with this statement. Never discredit the experience of a younger person who has gone through things that you will never know about. You don't know what that young man's been through. I don't know what that young man's been through. Could be he didn't know you were about to get run over. But could be he's seen enough from God that he said, man, I don't know how this is going to be a blessing for you. I know it seems inconvenient to be in the pit. I know it seems inconvenient to be in the prison. But it's going to be a blessing for you. Your testimony might lead someone to staying in the fight. It might lead them to pray for 3 more months. It might lead them to the Lord. Maybe not this time that I talked to my friend, but he's heard me talk before. We had a long conversation one night about why Charles Wesco got murdered and why Charles Wesco would take his family to a company like to a country like Cameroon, and then get murdered 2 weeks into his missionary journey there. And now his family has to come all the way home without him. He wanted to know, Joe, what in the world was your God doing? And I said, Rob, my God gave me a chance to talk to you about him. And here we are, talking about him. Might be your testimony leads someone to going to heaven rather than hell. And you may never know this side of heaven how your timely, offhand testimony might have been the thing they needed to hear right then. Miss Sam's coming to the piano, and as you stand to your feet, you might make your way to the altar. You might have a little testimony time just with you and God. You might just want to tell him how great you think he is. Too many times we come and we pray and we say, Lord, help me with this, help me with that. Lord, help my pastor. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We're going to take some time after service. Please don't rush out. And please don't make a ruckus. We're going to pray together for our pastor. But it's really good to just take time. Say, Lord, can I just tell you some of the things I saw you do in my life today? And can I thank you for them? As Miss Sam gains to play, the altars are open.